Hey everybody, good to see you tonight. New Life Worship and Prayer, we are going to begin with worship.
Glory. All the night and day let incense rise. Day and night, night and day.
Oh,
Holy, and we come into your presence tonight, and we honor you and we praise you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is and is to come. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, the three in one, the Lamb who is slain. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood applied. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thank you, Jesus. Us to be aware of your presence. Help us to honor you and to glorify your name and your name alone. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You are our God and we are your people. Saying holy. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Open wide, with hearts and hands lifted in praise and honor to you. We receive what you have for us tonight through the ministry of your Holy Spirit, through the power of your Holy Spirit. We receive what you have for us tonight. Bless your word as it is proclaimed tonight. May it minister to hearts and minds, renewing us, reconciling us, raising us up as your people. Holy, holy, holy are you, Lord God Almighty. Thank you, Jesus. It is in your name that we pray. The name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Psalm 47, verses 1 through 9. Let's read these together tonight. Clap your hands, all you nations. Shout to God with cries of joy. For the Lord Most High is awesome, the great King over all the earth. He subdued nations under us, peoples under our feet. He chose our inheritance for us, the pride of Jacob, whom he loved. God has ascended amid the shouts of joy, the Lord amid the sounding of trumpets. Sing praises to God, sing praises, sing praises to for God is the King of all the earth. Sing to him a psalm of praise. God reigns over the nations. God is seated on his holy throne. The nobles of the nations assemble as the people of God of Abraham. For the kings of the earth belong to God. He is greatly exalted. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Is good. Amen. Amen. Back in Matthew chapter 6 tonight, once again, verse 9, as we continue to study through this prayer that Jesus gave us, what we've come to call the Lord's Prayer. And last week we talked about Our Father, but tonight we're going to continue on. So, the sky is clear and blue today, tonight. If we look outside, we see some sun shining, right? The sun is bright. The trees are budding. The birds are singing. Those statements may all be true, but there is a difference between stating the obvious and taking a moment or two or an hour to sit, to look, to listen, to enjoy, to celebrate this great creation that God has given us. You see the difference? I can make those statements and not enjoy them, or notice them, or affirm them. God is holy. If maybe you noticed that in our worship set this morning, or this evening, there was kind of a theme there. God is holy. That statement is also true, and it could be made by a person who believes there is a holy God out there somewhere but has no intention of responding to him, no intention of following him, no desire to go anywhere near him. Or it could be made by a Christian with every intention of following him, every intention of being obedient. That statement is true regardless of who makes that statement, or if anybody makes that statement. God is holy. But what is the difference? The difference is the response. As I was studying through this passage of Scripture this week, through the Lord's Prayer, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. And I've noticed that some have changed it a little bit to some more contemporary language that says, Our Father in heaven, holy is your name. There's a difference. I can say, holy is your name, and that is true. That is what God is. That is his attribute. And he is holy regardless of whether I recognize it or not. But when I pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, there is a certain response from me to him. God is our creator. We are his creation. But more than that, he is our father, and we are his children. We talked about this a little bit last week. 1 John 3 and verse 1, see what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. And God is holy. So what should my response be? What should my response be as a follower of Jesus? As Jesus taught his disciples to pray, as he teaches us to pray, the question is, where is our affections? Where are our affections? The world is not a neutral place. Some people would like to say that the world is generally good, that creation is generally good, but sin is in the world. And so God's creation anymore is not generally good. It's not even neutral. As Tyler Stanton writes in his book, Praying Like Monks, Living Like Fools, he says, the world is a contested place where almost always another name than Jesus is being worshiped. That's what's happening in the world. There are so many things that we worship, that we hold up as holy, as what we might call in the church, sacred cows. So many things. Accomplishments. Success. Productivity, approval from others. How about comfort, entertainment, dreams and plans for our future, self-satisfaction? These are all things that are promoted in this world, and these are all things that we have to some degree participated in. These are all things that are promoted, not only promoted, but worshiped in this world in which we live. Which of these do we worship? Which of these do we hold up, in a sense, as holy? When we take any of these things and we put them first, when we put them before God, when we lift them up in our lives as something that is so important to us, that when we don't have it or when we don't receive it, it throws us all out of whack. When that happens, we've made it an idol. We've made it holy to ourselves. Which of these do we worship and even parade before God as we go before him in prayer? I mean, it's a hard question to ask, but how often do I come before God and say, hey, look what I've done? Or don't you have a pat on the back for me? And that is not what this is about. In the same book, Stanton continues, he says, so we must begin, as we approach God, we must begin by reordering our affections. We must begin by reordering our affections. And that's where Jesus says to his disciples. What's interesting is, again, the disciples were used to praying. The Jewish people are used to praying. They had times that they would pray and prayers that they would pray. They were used to praying. And yet the disciples saw Jesus praying. And while he was praying, they thought, there's something different about the way he prays. And so they asked him, teach us to pray. It wasn't like they didn't know how to pray, so to speak, but they saw something different in this man that they recognized as the Messiah. They said, there's something different. Teach us to pray like you pray. It's about reordering our affections. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. Hallowed be you in my life. That word hallowed, it is a verb. It is a verb, which means action, which means there's something going on here as I pray and as I live my life in relationship with God. In the Old Testament, it's the word kadesh, and in the New Testament, it's the word hagiazo, which both of them mean set apart, consecrate, to make holy. And it quite literally means more like, I make holy. I treat as holy. I set apart as holy. And so it is an action on my part. It is something that I do that recognizes that God is holy. And it affects the way that I live my life. It affects the way that I treat other people. So I want to go back into the Old Testament here for a couple of minutes, because there's a few passages of Scripture there that use this same word. And it really gives us an understanding of what Jesus is talking about when he's teaching his disciples to pray. And he says, pray like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Exodus 20 and verse 11. This is in the New King James Version. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. God hallowed the Sabbath day. God not only called this day holy, he also treated it as holy. How did he do that? He rested on it. He acted differently on that day than he did on every other day. So God himself says, this day is holy, and I'm going to act like it. And so in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 3, again in the New King James Version, then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, called it holy, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. He called it holy, and he took action. His life proved what he said. And we talk about that all the time, right? God always does what he says he's going to do. God always does what he says. And he doesn't ask us to do or be anything that he's not himself already. And he doesn't ask us to do or be anything that he won't help us to do or be either, right? Exodus chapter 29 and verse 21, again in the New King James Version. And you shall take some of the blood that is on the altar and some of the anointing oil and sprinkle it on Aaron and his garments and on his sons and on the garments of his sons with him. And he and his garments shall be hallowed, and his sons' garments with him. See, again, God says, he calls Aaron and his sons and the garments they're wearing. And even if you go through and look at the passages of Scripture that talk about the temple and the furniture in the temple, God calls them holy. He says, Aaron is holy. His sons are holy. The garments that they're wearing are holy. The temple is holy. The furniture are holy. But then he also treats them like they are holy as well. How does he do that? How does he treat Aaron and his sons and their garments and the temple? How does he treat? Well, he treats the temple as holy because he resided there. That's where he lived. That's where he met with his people. He treated it as holy. How did he treat Aaron and his sons as holy? By accepting the offerings and the intercessions made by them on behalf of themselves and on behalf of the people. God treated them as holy. He hallowed them. In Hebrews chapter 5, verses 1 through 4, every high priest is selected from among the people and is appointed to represent the people in matters related to God, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. He is able to deal gently with those who are ignorant and are going astray, since he himself is subject to weakness. This is why he has to offer sacrifices for his own sins as well as for the sins of the people. And no one takes this honor on himself, but he receives it when called by God, just as Aaron was. See, God says this is holy, and then he treats it like it's holy. And so when Jesus is teaching his disciples to pray, he says, you call God holy, treat him like he's holy. Our Father in heaven, you are holy, hallowed be your name. I will treat you like you're holy. So where then is, what then should our response be? Where do our affections lie? That is a question that we need to ask ourselves always. Is God first? Have I raised him up? Have I hallowed him above everything else in my life? Including my spouse, whom I love dearly, my children, who I would do anything for them, my church, my vocation, my dreams, my plans. Is God above all of those things? Where do my affections lie? In Leviticus 22 and verse 32, again in the New King James Version, we read, God's speaking to his people and he says, you shall not profane my holy name, but I will be hallowed among the children of Israel. I am the Lord who sanctifies you. I will be hallowed. I am the one who calls you holy. I am the one who makes you righteous. I am the one who saves you, who pulls you up out of the pit, who frees you from sin and the dominion of darkness. I am the one who does these things. And it's not that God is a megalomaniac who is up there going every chance he gets, gimme, gimme, gimme glory and honor and praise because, you know, raise the roof. It is for us that he does these things. And he deserves this. And when he is in his place rightfully, and when we are in the place where we belong, things work the way that they're supposed to work in our lives, in the world around us. Is it enough to say God is holy? Or must our desires, our affections, our lives align with his? I want to read for us from Exodus 20, verses 1 through 8. The first part of the Ten Commandments. And God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt. None of us came out of Egypt. But all of us, as Paul talks about, came out of slavery. Slavery to sin. Slavery to darkness. Through forgiveness, through reconciliation, by grace, through faith. If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, you'll be saved. Every one of us has been brought out of Egypt. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. No other gods. Not self, not occupation. Not family, nothing. Those are all good things, can be good things in the right place, and God can call and bless in every area of our lives, but he needs to be first. You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of their parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. And how often do we hear that? it is thrown around so flippantly anymore that I fear that many of us are, even in the church, are desensitized to that, and it doesn't really even register with us or bother us anymore when we hear the name of Jesus used in a flippant manner or as a curse word. You don't hear any other of these false gods being used as curse words in our society, do we? No, it's because Jesus is the name that has power and beauty and majesty, authority, and the world doesn't like that. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. And then remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, by making it hallowed in your life. So let us be a people of prayer. Let us be a people who call God holy and live our lives like he is holy or hallowed. Let us learn from Jesus to realign our affections each time we pray, to align our lives with his. Here's a few verses of scripture that I think can speak into our lives as we kind of wrap this message up tonight. A few passages of scripture from Psalm chapter 119, verses 10 through 13. There are some things that this is how we should respond. This is how we hallow the name of the Lord our God. The psalmist writes, I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I seek you with all my heart. This is how I hallow the name of the Lord my God. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. That is how I hallow the name of the Lord my God. By hiding his word in my heart. That takes some time and some effort and some reading and some meditating on God's word and thinking about it and asking his Holy Spirit to show me what it is that he's trying to teach me. Praise be to you, Lord. Teach me your decrees. I lift him up in praise and in worship. I honor him in all that I say and do. I spend time saying, God, you are holy. God, you are worthy. Jesus is alive. You are the one I will follow. Teach me your decrees. With my lips, I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I repeat them over and over again. I give testimony to the way that God has been working in my life. I recount the ways that he continues to work in my life, in the lives of people around me, in the life of the church. These are things that we do to hallow the name of the Lord our God. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thank you, Jesus. Let's pray together. Gracious Heavenly Father, we just come before you this evening. Once again, we just say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. You've always been, you always are, you always will be. And we pray tonight in Jesus' name that by the power and presence of your Holy Spirit, our lives might reflect your holiness. As we seek you with all our heart, as we seek you with all our heart, Lord God, won't you teach us your commands? Won't you show us your way? Won't you let us see your will for our lives? Won't you realign our affections? God, tonight, if there's anything in any one of our lives that maybe we've held close to, on the same level, maybe above you, would you point that out to us tonight? Would you make that clear to us tonight? And just give us the humility and the courage to confess that, to lay that down before your feet, before the cross, to surrender that to you, that we might continue to grow in your grace, that we might continue to be raised up to be the people of God and to do your work and to be a part of establishing your kingdom in our homes and in our communities and in our church. God, would you do that work in each one of us? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God, we just continue to lift up to you lost and broken people tonight. We pray for people who need to know you. We pray for breakthrough in their lives tonight. Something that only your Holy Spirit can do. God, there are barriers in people's lives that keep them from believing. There are barriers in people's lives that keep them from experiencing fullness in Christ. God, there are barriers in people's lives that just keep them hard and cold towards you. And we pray tonight in Jesus' name that your Holy Spirit would tear down those barriers. We think so much of these kids that come in here each Wednesday night, these teens that come in here each Wednesday night, and they come from families, they come from situations. God, we don't even know half the story with some of them, Lord, but we pray for them tonight that those barriers would come down. We pray over them tonight that their hearts would be softened. We pray tonight that they would hear the word of God afresh, and that it would draw them to you. We pray over them, believing tonight in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We pray for unity in the church tonight in Jesus' name. Something that only your Spirit can do. Create the mind of Christ in us. Bring us into unity in the church, and not just in our own church, but between the churches. God, that you would raise up your churches, that you would bring about revival in your churches, that your Spirit would do a work in your churches. Those who are calling on the name of Jesus, that you would raise them up. And I want to pray for those churches tonight who are either wandering very close to, if they haven't already crossed over into apostasy and embraced the things of the world. We pray for those churches tonight in Jesus' name, that you would draw them back into the fold, that you would clear up their minds and bring them into alignment with your truth, with your word. We pray for them tonight in Jesus' name. We love them as brothers and sisters in Christ, and we pray for them tonight in Jesus' name that you would bring them back. Thank you, Jesus. Our heart breaks for them. Thank you, Jesus. We pray for our church here tonight, New Life Church, that we might have an impact on this community, that we might have an impact on the community of Menominee. We pray, God, in Jesus' name, that your message, your good news would be heard by people through us. We pray for those opportunities to share Jesus with others. We pray that you'd help us to see those. We pray that you'd help us to seize those opportunities. Would you give us a boldness that we've not had before? pray tonight in Jesus' name that you would give each one of us an opportunity to pray for somebody that you've placed on our heart and mind. To pray diligently for somebody, that you would give each one of us an opportunity maybe to share Jesus with somebody. I pray for that tonight in Jesus' name. And we just, Lord, just this little gathering here tonight, it seems almost crazy at times that we might even be able to make a dent in what's going on in the world, and yet we know that you're bigger than everything that's going on in the world. And God, we just pray against the evil and the darkness. All of just the ick that's going on in the world right now. The human trafficking, God, we pray over those people who are being exploited. We lift them up to you and we intercede for them tonight. And if there's any way that we can stand in the gap, we pray in Jesus' name that you would give us that opportunity, that you would give us that vision. And for all of those babies who are being sacrificed for convenience and comfort and personal gain, God, we pray for them tonight. Our heart breaks for them tonight. We speak for them tonight because they can't speak for themselves. And we pray over them tonight in Jesus' name. And for those doctors and for those mothers and for those nurses and those people who are all involved in this darkness, in this evil thing that goes on here and has just been accepted, we pray over them tonight in Jesus' name that your Holy Spirit would get a hold of their hearts. That people would make the choice for life. And we thank you for life tonight. We thank you for freedom. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We are so grateful tonight. Grateful to you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You are holy. You are worthy of all glory and honor and praise. You are our God and we are your people. And we thank you. All of these things we pray together tonight in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who lives and who reigns and who's coming again. Amen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen and amen. It has been good to be with you tonight. Praise the Lord. Have a good rest of your week, and may God richly bless you.